can let the good times roll and keep rolling and rolling and rolling. I don't know where we're going with it. That's Sarah and Lee. You remember that song years ago? It's a good one, though. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Good Friday, April the 15th. Wow. I hope your weekend is a good one and that you take the time to give it the thought that it deserves with the death of Jesus and the resurrection and all of these things. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Neville Kramer. He is an old buddy of ours. He's a security and immigration expert. We're going to talk about the latest. You know, there's always something new going on with the southern border, right? So we're going to be talking with him about the latest on the southern border crisis, including the ending of Title 42. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the bus drop-offs. You know, there was another one, a third one today in Washington, D.C., of illegals. We'll talk about that with him as well. So stay tuned. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a law that bans all abortions after 15 weeks, except for fetal abnormalities. 15 weeks and that's it. We are going to get some thoughts on that, as well as a few other things from the master barber himself, Andrew Sorace, a little bit later in the show. And if you think the media buries the race of a murder suspect if he's black, you are correct. You are correct. We're going to look at that. We're going to talk about that. So stay tuned for that as well. And we have a very good ultimate top 10. If you listened to our show on Wednesday, we gave you the top 10 states with the lowest gas prices. I bet Ed doesn't even remember what number one is with the lowest gas prices. I make you a small bet he doesn't. But we are going to give you the top 10 states with the highest gas prices. We'll see if Ed knows which one is the highest state. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And guys, this is the Easter weekend. You still have today and tomorrow before Easter Sunday to look as good as you can for this Easter weekend. You can get over there. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut in Tampa Bay for my money. Call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. Well, you know, I don't think Easter is celebrated as much now as it used to be. I don't know, Ed, if you feel that way, but I think from a Christian standpoint, I think Easter was a bigger deal a few generations ago. I think it's lost its, whereas I think Christmas has maintained perhaps its significance, I guess, in the world of culture. I'm not so sure about Easter. It is the biggest and most important Christian holiday because it celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. So, you know, from the standpoint of Christians, it is our biggest holiday. But I don't think that it's as big on the cultural map as it used to be. And Ed's agreeing with me on that. But we should take the time. I mean, this is Good Friday, and the Lord was crucified and arose again on Easter Sunday. So that's the way all of that works.
You know, it was those big Easter egg hunts.
Yeah.
I see that Tampa's having a keg hunt.
They are?
Yeah, Easter keg hunt. Maybe they're trying to revive it that way, you know?
Are they going to paint the kegs all kinds of
yes,
bright colors?
Are. Yeah, they are, and they're going to hide them. And
how do you hide a big keg?
And well, I mean, it could blend in with something.
I guess so.
And it's filled with your favorite beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You know, I've got a friend that likes Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And if you don't drink that, you can remove the paint off your furniture with
yes,
it.
Yes, you can. It's very good. It's a good turpentine substitute. I see. I have a friend that drinks Miller High Life, not Miller Light. Miller High Life.
Remember, so you're talking about the original Miller,
yeah.
In the clear bottle.
It was in the golden.
It was the clear bottle with the golden.
It
look.
It had a golden look to it. Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
I drink that.
Remember that
one.
Had the little waitress on the label.
Yeah,
Miller High Life.
The old Miller commercials with Rodney Dangerfield. And,
yeah, that's Miller Light.
Oh, that's true. You're right. That is Miller.
But
Light.
That's all right because Miller Light really made its name when that came out.
Tastes great, less filling.
Yeah. Anyway, well, how did we get to talking about that?
We went from Easter eggs to kegs.
I guess we
to
did.
Beer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did want to mention, because of this horrible thing with the Ukraine war, that Russia is apparently now warning both NATO and the United States that there could be unpredictable consequences if we keep shipping weapons to Ukraine. They always have this little thing, you know, it's like their ace in the hole, whatever you want to call it. They're going to pull out the nuclear card. Mm-hmm. They're going to dangle the nuclear card in front of you. You dare do anything like this, and we'll dang the nuclear card in front of you.
And Russia's in their typical form of kind of hiding the truth, shall we say, instead of lying. I mean, the old days with Brezhnev, I mean, Brezhnev was dead for about 6 months, and all they said was he had a cold. Remember those days?
Yes.
Brezhnev has cold. He'd be fine.
Yeah. Yes.
I love the warship.
One of these days he's going to start breathing again.
The Ukrainians say that they sunk in a Russian warship with a missile, and Russia says, no, the ship caught fire and yes. then sunk because of the fire, which was hit by the missile if they didn't...
happened to be hit by a missile at the same
it's
time.
It's not like a sailor dropped a lit cigarette butt and the joint went up in flames.
It was a coincidence that a missile hit it.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with it being sunk. Well, this is the kind of nonsense that they feed their own people. You know, you got to have contempt for people when you do that. You think about it.
You know,
to feed them lie after lie after lie. You have to have contempt for your own people.
Yeah, it would be easier to form a hate against Russia if the people of Russia weren't so nice. Have you met a really?
Sure.
Have you ever met a nasty Russian? I've met Russian people all the time.
No, I've never.
And they are great people.
I think you're right. I think anybody that's come over from that area, and I'll include Ukrainians and those that are from surrounding countries there.
The Czechoslovakia and all that.
I've not met any of them or know anybody. Maybe it's because they are, what's the word? They are so happy to be here that they've got kind of a positive attitude about living here. I think people from those places are more appreciative of the United States than we are because we've grown up never having to worry about what we think and what we say and
what
we do.
We take a lot for granted over here.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We're going to switch gears. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, our old buddy Neville Kramer, he's a security and immigration expert. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about the latest in that southern border crisis.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we are back on a Good Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us as we go into the Easter weekend. Well, a third migrant bus has arrived in Washington, D.C. from Texas. It was special delivery to Joe Biden. Came around 8 a.m. this morning. Part of Texas Governor Greg Abbott's, I guess it's an Easter package. It's an Easter package, Easter gift to Biden. Texas began sending unspecified numbers of buses to D.C. On April the 8th, following the governor's decision that they would be transporting migrants released in Texas communities to the nation's capital. Now, I guess these people know they are going there, and they were willing to go there. Maybe a lot of them say, you know, maybe I'll have a chance to see Joe Biden and give him a thing or two. You know, so away we go. Now, there's so much going on. We got this Title 42, which is coming to an end, and I can't think of a better person to talk with about what is going on. And, you know, we get together and we talk about it most recently with Neville Cramer, because he's been in the business for so long. He's a security expert. He's an immigration consultant. He formerly worked with Immigration and Naturalization Services. Neville, welcome back.
Hey, Paul, happy Easter to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so very much. So now I read that there is, I think, a huge group of people from Guatemala that is going to arrive at our southern border just about the time that Title 42 is expiring. Now, Title 42 was intended to keep people from crossing into our country that had not been vaccinated or might have the virus, right?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Why would Biden want to end Title 42? Doesn't he realize he's up to his ankles in quicksand and he fell in head first?
No, to tell you the truth, I don't think he realizes anything.
Well, that's an honest answer.
Every time I turn on the television and they say, here's the president, I feel like going and hiding.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to have the guy up there.
It's very, very awkward to see him these days. You're right. So what's going on with this Title 42?
Well, before we go any further, I have to tell you, I have a great idea for the people that and your part of the state. Take the orange, the kegs that they're going to have, and paint them orange, and then they could line them up with the other 30,000 along the highways, and no one will ever be able to find them.
It would be like one of those construction barrier things, right?
Yeah.
That's an excellent
idea. That's not going to work, Neville, because our senior citizens use those for target practice when they're driving down the road.
That's right.
That's great. Anyway, this nonsense that, you know, Abbott and his predecessor, by the way, the fellow Governor Perry, they love
Rick
to
Perry.
Come out with all this nonsense. Rick Perry. Yeah, they love to come out with this stuff about the border. But like Rick Perry said, we're going to, you know, in 6 months, I'm going to have the border secure. He never did anything like that. He sent a few National Guard down there. They didn't really do anything. So, and this is the same kind of political stunt. I'm not picking on the Republicans, but there's a whole lot better he could be spending his money on than sending us the buses. And the bad part is that when I was an agent, one of the supervisory agents in D.C. for many years, I can tell you right now, those people getting off the bus, they're thrilled to be there because there's a huge Guatemalan community and El Salvadorian community in the Washington area. They didn't have to pay to get there. They've got their documents. And I have to tell you, if just so that you'll hear this word and you'll know what's going on, these basically millions of people that are coming in, they're being given parole documents. And that is a document that says basically that you don't have an immigration status, but you have the right to be here. And that's going to result after 30 or 60 days, they're legally going to have to be given a work authorization permit. And then they get a driver's license.
Well, wait.
Get a social security number. Yeah.
They get a work authorization permit from the government?
Yeah, from Homeland Security. If they don't take care of them within a certain period of time, I think it's 90 days. If the courts have said that if you're going to have these people legally in the country or under some kind of status for 90 days and you haven't done anything with them, you're going to have to give them employment authorization.
What a mess.
And one of the guys, Paul, told me that they are now issuing court documents that say that you have to be in court 6 years from today.
6 years?
Yeah, 6 years.
Give me one of those things. I mean, come on. What difference does it make after 6 years? Half the people in Washington will be gone. What is this nonsense with? What is the nonsense going on here? First of all, let's go back to Governor Abbott and what he's trying to do or not do. You're right. I think it's a bit of a political stunt what he's doing and what Rick Perry probably did to some extent. But it does sound like Abbott really does want to see something done about the surge. He does want to have some sort of a border barrier built. He does want to stop he's also working on, I guess, checking maybe a little bit more thoroughly with all the vehicles that are crossing over with drugs and all of the other things that are going on. And he's catching flack for that as well.
Yeah, I agree that he's trying to do certain things, but this is not really going to do anything that's going to stop this massive flow of drugs and people coming into the country. I mean, this is a collapse of our immigration enforcement system. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said, Paul, that the border is not the issue. This is a lot bigger than that. If you don't stop the magnet that's drawing the drugs into this country and drawing the people into the country for cheap labor, that border is never going to be secured. In fact,
is it because we don't want it to be secured, really, deep down? Is that
exactly, yeah.
Okay, so we don't even have the will to secure the border.
That's correct.
Well, in November, there's going to be a huge backlash against Democrats. I think everybody believes that, and a lot of it's going to be because of our failure to deal with the border crisis. It's a huge issue with a lot of people. Maybe not all the bigwigs, and we can look at groups that seem to want to have some of these people come in for various reasons. But with the voting public, it's a big deal. There are going to be 60 or 70 seats that are lost by the Democrats in the House. They're probably going to lose the Senate. I think they will. So things are going to turn around, and a lot of it has to do with this border.
But what are they going? But my question to you is, I know what the problem is. We all know what the problem is, but nobody's come up with the solution. The solution.
Nobody wants to, Neville.
Nobody
wants to really come up with it because they could come up with something. Could they not?
We've overturned the House and the Senate two or three times, three or four times since 1986.
That's true.
The last time we had major immigration reform.
You're right.
And we haven't been able to even pass a law, let alone try to implement it. So there's the reason is that what you said, we do not have the will.
We don't have the will. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He knows about things when it comes to the border. He's also been around the world. He does security work for companies. And he was a former, he worked with the Immigration and Naturalization Services. He's the author, by the way, of a great book called Immigration Chaos. And God, that's what, 10, 11 years ago now, Neville? But I don't know if it's still available on Kindle or whatever it is, but it's a great book.
It is. Thanks for the plug, by the way. I'm going back on the speaking circuit now that I've come out from underneath my bed from COVID.
That's good for people. I mean, it's good for the world that you're going to be out on the speaking circuit. Go ahead.
Yeah. Immigrationchaos.com. They can get the book. They can get a Kindle version from Amazon, and I appreciate the opportunity to plug it and myself. So looking
absolutely
out there.
Now, let's get back to this thing about the will to do something about the border. I guess I'm a little naive. I know I am. And you know, you've forgotten more than I know about how to deal with the border. But with all of our technology, and let's say, the people that live in, let's say, Texas and on the border, and Arizona, New Mexico, and California, and they want to see some sort of way of being able to send people through all of this in some way, shape, or form that makes some sort of sense, can we not somehow come to some sort of a resolution to stop the illegal? I mean, not everybody will never stop everybody from illegally coming in. That's for sure. But bring some sense to this chaos?
Yes. I've always said this is a country that put 69. We remember it. We watched them shoot the rocket to the moon. Guys got out. They walked around. They came back. If we can do that in 1969, we sure as hell can fix the border and fix the immigration system. I'm not talking about drugs. I've never been a drug agent, and I don't talk about things that I don't know anything about. So this is not involving fentanyl and all the drugs coming across, although that will be helped if we do the proper solutions. And the solutions are there. They're available. I can tell you in 30 seconds what they are. But and it will lead to a very operational control of the border as far as people coming across. You use drones. You use ground sensors. But you have to also have a massive amount of detention capability that can be temporary or permanently put in there so that when you catch 500 people, they go into detention for 60 or 90 days. You process them. You put them in front of a judge. They're ordered deported, and they go back home.
Yeah.
And what you do on the interior of the United States, Paul, is that you have E-Verify. You make it mandatory, and you give anybody that knowingly employs an illegal immigrant and doesn't use E-Verify or uses it, tries to beat the system, you give them a $5,000 fine for every day that they hire and every single illegal immigrant that they hire. And you do that and put that that system in place along with the technology on the border and the detention, fix the problem in 1 year's time.
Yeah. No, I think they make terrific sense. Do you think if Trump had been reelected that we'd have this crisis at the border still?
No, but don't think for a minute that we would have the border secure. That's a lie. We have people that are Republican. I'll give you one example. I heard Pete Hegseth on Fox News the other night say that we should have Trump back because when Trump was insured, the border was secure. Mm. That's just nonsense. And either he's, you know, he should stick with the military that he knows a lot about, but don't start talking about the border. That border hasn't been secure in 100 years.
You know, remember he would, Trump, what helped get him elected was not only was he going to put up a border fence or a wall, but he was going to make Mexico pay for it. Of course, none of that ever happened. He did start the construction of certain parts of fencing, and then when Biden came in, they immediately put a halt to that. In fact, I think the fencing is laying still on the ground. You know, they haven't even taken that away. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, Paul, the border is 1,933 miles long. There's fencing, and this isn't all that Trump did, but there's been fencing, and his wall covers 700 miles of it. And the fencing is about 6 feet high, and anybody can throw a blanket over it and get over it. Trump's wall is pretty good, but that's not going to stop it. They're going to dig underneath it. They're going to come over. You have to stop the magnet. If the magnet to draw these people in here to get a job, right, work, and send their money back home isn't stopped or curtailed, forget it. Anybody that's ever worked on that border will tell you it's not secure, and it's going to be almost impossible to secure it.
My colleague Ed Davis has a question for you, Neville.
Hey, Neville, did I hear you say it with these illegals that are being dropped off? And can we call them illegals now? Because I know under Obama, he referred to them as undocumented workers. But we can call them illegals now, can't we?
Ed, they're illegal aliens.
Okay.
According to the Immigration and Nationality Act, they're aliens that are illegally in the country.
Did I hear you say they were getting a driver's license?
No, they're getting a parole document.
Okay.
That means that it's under a Section 212 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. These people are given a document that just says, we recognize you're here, but we don't have a status for you, so we're giving you this piece of paper and you're being paroled. The courts have said, you can't allow these people to come in and just let them walk around without knowing that they're here and not allow them to work. So after 60 days or 90 days, if you haven't taking care of their court case and they haven't appeared and they haven't, then you have to give them, you start issuing them a work authorization document, which is not a green card, but it's a document issued by Homeland Security. They take that document, they get a Social Security card with it that's valid for work. They can go and get a driver's license with that. They're in. They're here.
That's crazy. Well, that's what I said. Yeah. If they can now get a driver's license, that takes care of the Democrats' problem with the Republicans wanting an ID or a driver's license to vote. That takes care of that problem.
They're here forever. They're not going home.
You know what's interesting, Neville? I noticed that, I think it's the Quinnipiac poll, the latest poll on Biden. Mm-hmm. Of course, his numbers are in the toilet. He's at 33% approval. 33% approval, I think.
Mm, Paul, the toilet stops at 35. We're now in the sewer.
So, but one of the interesting statistics is he doesn't even have the Hispanic vote. More people in the Hispanic community also disapprove than approve. And he's the guy that everybody's looking at that's allowing this flow of Hispanics, mainly Hispanics, across the southern border. So I'm wondering, you know, Hispanics to a large extent are family-oriented people. And they have somewhat conservative, personal conservative values. I believe that's true. So I'm not so sure that if the Democrats' idea is to get more Democratic voters, that they'll succeed with this plan. What do you think, Neville?
I don't know whether that's their ultimate goal. I think they realize that they may be ticking people off so much, including the Hispanics and the blacks and the whites and everybody else with this policy, but they're not going to stop it, and they're just going to hope that these people vote Democratic. But long before we take care of that, we better worry about what it's going to do to our economy, because these people are going to be eligible for everything in our education and our social welfare system, and there's millions of them coming in. Who's going to pay for all that?
Yeah, so again, I just don't understand the logic of the Democrats on this. I don't. They're alienating every group. The blacks, obviously people that live along the border in the southern states that don't want to see this, and all of these other groups. It just, I don't know. It boggles my mind.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think they've lost control of the situation. They don't really know what they're doing.
You're so right. Neville, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. I hope you and your lovely wife, Tamia, have a wonderful, happy Easter, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again down the road.
You as well, and Ed, take care, and be safe.
Happy Easter.
Look forward to doing it again.
All right, my friend. Thank you, sir. Neville Kramer. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law a ban on all abortions after 15 weeks, excepting fetal abnormalities. Let's get some thoughts on this, as well as a bunch of other things, from the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a good Friday. Freedom Works, we thank you so very much for taking a little time to be with us. Well, Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed legislation banning abortions after 15 weeks. It allows for abortions past 15 weeks only involving what do I call fatal fetal abnormality. It makes no exception for rape or incest. So the law is limiting the time an abortion is legal by 9 weeks because they were previously banned for 24 weeks. So it's now 9 weeks earlier. DeSantis emphasized that the bill is, or the legislation, is not the only aspect of his pro-life agenda. He said the bill also allocates funds to increase the number of infant mortality review boards across Florida. So he certainly is showing his pro-life credentials. We've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, with us. And Andrew, I don't know, there wasn't a lot made about this bill, but I think it's pretty pretty important. It's probably scaring a lot of liberals, too.
Well, you know, Paul, I got an old saying myself. If you can't afford to feed them, don't breed them.
Yeah.
Number one.
Well,
okay.
Okay.
Now, as far as the bill, like you said, there's no exceptions for rape. I don't think that's right there. If a girl gets raped and she happens to get pregnant from her, I mean, come on.
Well, you're blaming the child, though, for the situation. Here's the deal. As painful as it might be for a rape victim, if they haven't taken the precautions after the rape to make sure that they do not become pregnant, wait a second, and then get to the point where they have a baby forming in their womb, let the baby be born and put it up for adoption. There are a lot of people wandering around this world that were the victims of rape. Let's just be honest about it. And many of them are fine people. In fact, probably most of them are fine people. I'm not big on that concept of killing off some child because of a rape. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. You're talking about taking the morning after pill as far as a precaution.
Yes, if you were raped.
Rape, well, if that works, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
That'd be fine. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, this is DeSantis is putting his foot. A lot of other states are doing things that are similar, and more of these other states are going to be doing are going to join them. By the way, DeSantis was joined by a bunch of pro-life activists. Now you've got a lot of concern, as you know, by the far left in particular, that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And allow states, basically, what it would do is it will allow states to set up their own rules. I've always thought that it would have been better from the beginning to allow states to set up their own laws regarding abortion, as opposed to having a one-size-fits-all from the federal government.
I think the states running themselves are a lot better than the federal government.
Absolutely.
Running your states. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
No question.
So,
go ahead.
No. I just want to. It's been a very what's the word? Ron DeSantis has been doing an awful lot. We've got the thing with Disney. We've got all of the other things that he's been pushing, and he's been at the forefront of. I'd be surprised. I would not be surprised if he schedules a couple of those buses that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been sending. Some of those buses of his own to send a few people up to Washington, D.C.
Well, I think they should get a few of them buses and form a convoy full of them.
There you go.
Up there instead of one at a time. Send about 30 of them up there.
Exactly right.
Then you'll definitely get some attention.
You are right, sir.
Putting them right on their front doors. But, you know, look at the Quinney, what is it, the Quinnipiac poll? That's basically a liberal poll, too, you know.
Well, Quinnipiac University is, like most universities, is considered liberal.
And look at that. They come up with 33%.
33% approval.
Yeah. Well, I think they're favoring him there because I think it's a lot lower.
Probably is. You know what it is? You know what his favorability is with in that poll with Republicans?
26%? 3%.
Well, he's got seriously, he's got a 94% disapproval and a 3% approval rate. 3%.
No.
That's almost zero. Good. That's almost 0% among Republicans.
And the guy is no good. That's proof right there.
Yeah.
Him and his whole administration. No good.
Do you remember when he was talking about how he's going to be an open administration and he was going to keep everybody informed? He is the most tightly closed, you know, you can't find out what I'm thinking, doing, or whatever else. I mean, he's the complete opposite of what he said he was going to be.
Well, Paul, that's because he can't think, number one, okay?
Yeah.
He has somebody doing his thinking for him, which from that video when Barack Obama was at the White House, I really believe Barack Obama is the one pulling all the strings.
Well, it could well be. In fact, he almost looked like he was a puppet wandering around aimlessly.
And there's no
I'm talking about Biden.
But I can't wait to see what's going to happen in November. And I'm glad that Ron DeSantis has decided to start primarying people. This way he can get people in there he wants, rather than a loser getting elected in a primary that they all have to vote for.
Yeah,
I think that'll be pretty good, because this way he's getting people that'll go along with his agenda, make things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Are we referring to the 13th District and the fact that Donald Trump did not endorse the guy you were hoping he would endorse?
You know, Kevin wasn't even there when Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump was a little hasty in endorsing somebody.
Anna Paulina Luna.
And Anna Paulina Lunatic.
Yes. Oh, speaking of people that you like to, guess who is making the news again? Your favorite politician, Aunt Esther. Maxine Waters of California paid her daughter another $24,000 in campaign cash during the most recent quarter, according to the Federal Elections Commission. This woman has chutzpah. She has been caught just handing money directly from her campaign funds to her daughter.
Well,
hey, here, dear, why don't you go on a huge shopping trip with these campaign funds? And is she not the idiot that was screaming, impeach 45, impeach 45?
Paul, and I hate to say this.
No, you don't.
The fact is, nothing will happen to her because she is black.
Well, she gets away with murder.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
And Hillary Clinton got away with murder, and she's white. So it must have to do with the Democrat Party. It's
yeah, right. Nothing to do with color. It has to do with philosophy.
That was my point.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking that we could contribute, too, to this campaign fund. It's called Citizens for Waters.
Are they talking about clean water, or are they talking about her?
Citizens for Dirty Waters.
You got to clear this up.
I know. Her waters are unclearable. Let's see.
Look at him. Look at Adam Schiff. Look at these congressmen that people elect. Come on.
Yeah.
This has got to change. If it doesn't change in November, we're in deep trouble.
Oh, it's going to change. We were talking about that earlier. 50 to 60 seat difference. The Democrats are going to be down 50 to 60 seats in the House. They're going to be way down. They're going to lose the Senate. I think they'll lose the Senate. And the fact is that most of the seats in the Senate, you know, one-third of the Senate every 2 years is up for election. Of the seats in the Senate that are up for election are Republican seats. So generally, it's the Republicans that would normally have to worry. But I think even in spite of that, I think that the Republicans are going to pick up seats.
Well, the good thing about the Republicans having to change seats is we're going to get rid of some rhinos that are in there that need to go.
And I'm thinking you're thinking of, as among other, Liz Cheney in Wyoming.
Liz Cheney, Lisa Murkowski, Collins, Mitt Romney, they've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Their time is up. They've done enough destruction. They have voted Democrat 90% of the time.
I just read, and in a way it's kind of sad, we always talk about the mental acuity of President Biden, but you know whose acuity has really gone south? Is Dianne Feinstein. In fact, now even her own associates that work on her staff are saying that she's not capable anymore.
Well, she's what, 86 years old, Paul?
She is, and she's lost. She apparently you can be talking to her, and she indeed forgets who you are.
Wouldn't you like to see a conversation between her and Biden?
Yeah, I mean, that would be very interesting, put the two of them together, because by the time about 20 minutes would have passed, they wouldn't know who they were talking to.
Well, they would just sit there and stare at each other.
Yeah.
Paul, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What company would hire an 80-year-old person to work for them, other than Publix picking up shopping carts?
You're right, but, you know, a lot of people at that age...
Why do they allow somebody at that age to run a country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There should be an age limit, 65 years old, just like a pilot has to retire at 65.
I think you can make a good point. Yes.
Because they said they're not mentally and physically capable of flying that airplane with 300 passengers on board.
Because so I guess you could. I guess you
what
can.
What makes them think? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I say, what makes them think an 80-year-old person can fly an airplane?
I tend to agree with you, but. There are always the exceptions, as you know, people that are very, very cognizant,
and are doing, you know, amazing things at that age. But you're right, most people are not. Now, we don't have...
Well, if they are over a certain age, they should have to take a cognitive test every time they're getting re-elected.
Yeah, and that runs into some objective problems, but I understand what you're saying. I think you would apply that to the Supreme Court as well?
Of course.
Okay. And you would apply it to any politician in Congress?
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I can understand it. The argument against that is the people themselves that elect these people back are aware of the infirmities or lack thereof of these candidates, and despite that, they have elected them. I mean, that's the argument you're going to get from the other side, right?
Well, they can argue all they want. This is the rule. You're 65 years old, you're running for government, you will take a cognitive test, period.
Yeah.
It's a law.
Kind of like when you'd have to retake your driver's test.
Exactly.
I think there's some...
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there should be a public... Here's what... I have the answer.
Well, now, you don't take...
I have the answer. Wait. We do political Jeopardy. You know the game Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to a certain age, they have to appear on the show. Okay? And we have to... And we run them through a political Jeopardy test. And if they reach a certain amount of money, they can stay. Otherwise, they're gone. What do you think, Andrew?
I agree, Paul. Like I said, it's... You gotta do something, because these people are ruining the country. Period.
Yeah.
They belong in a nursing home.
On a driver's renewal, you don't have to take a driver's license test. You take an eye test.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, no, after a certain age, I think they make them take a road test.
You know, in certain states, you have...
That's called age discrimination. You
certain
can't.
States, I think you do have to come back
not
and take
a test. Not in Florida,
the
where it counts, for crying out
yeah,
loud.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should. I think you absolutely need to take a test every year.
People's lives in danger. It's not right.
Well, you got some 83-year-old that's mistaking the pedals and making somebody's house a drive-through.
It's happened many times.
Do you think Biden should drive his own limousine through the streets of Washington?
He couldn't drive his own tricycle, for crying out loud.
I think the only thing he could drive is nails into a telephone pole.
Okay, my friend. I want to wish you a very, very, very blessed and happy Easter weekend. Your family, the same. Candy and everybody at the barbershop, the same. You've been a great, great backer of our show for so many years. Always like to take time to mention that. You're also a great Samaritan. You do God's work helping a Korean War veteran with his life. And we thank you so much for all of that, and I'm looking forward to talking with you on Monday.
You guys have a happy Easter.
Hey, Andrew, real quick, I got a job for you on the weekend. Okay. I want you to, by Monday report is, I want you to find this an eater, one of the eater, a phone booth, a public phone, or a car electrical charger unit.
A public phone booth?
Or a public phone.
Right where there is a phone booth stand. Okay. There's no question about it. I'm going to take a picture of it today for you.
There really is?
Yes, sir.
Is it in operation?
No, sir. It's in somebody's yard. They got it as a decoration.
That's what I thought.
It's a prop.
That's what it is. Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
All right. There he goes. Let's do a short break. Short break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are listenable. By the way, we have a listenable show. All of them are listenable on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Take your pick. All the shows are there. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. So, Frank James. You know who he is? I'm sure you probably do. He is the guy that's been arrested for the subway terrorism that occurred in New York City. He is, quote, a black nationalist. He is an outspoken racist. He railed against whites, Jews, and Hispanics. Of that there is no doubt. However, if you had read the Washington Post or the New York Times or perhaps some of the other newspapers, the Chicago Tribune and the like, when they first talked about all of this and knew who this guy was, you'd have to be reading deep into that article to find out that he happened to be a black man. And the reason is because the media buries the race of murderers or murder suspects if they're not white. Did you know that? Had it been a white guy that did this, you would have known that almost from the beginning in those stories. And that's just the way it is. They have an agenda when it comes to that. A Washington Free Beacon review of hundreds of articles published by major papers over a span of 2 years finds that the papers downplay the race of non-white offenders, mentioning their race much later in the article than they do for white offenders. So that's the way it goes. And you know that there is a lot of this black on Asian and black on white crime that's going on all over the place. Everybody knows about it. It's downplayed. It's downplayed, and it shouldn't be. It should take its spot just like any other situation, and that's just the way it is. All right. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, by the way, it's the top 10 states with the highest gas prices. I'm going to ask Ed about whether or not he remembers what the lowest priced state is. But Ed, before we do that, I watched the Lightning last night win by a hair's breadth.
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to watch that game? It was very exciting.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Well, they've made the playoffs. They clinched that.
I had other programs on, so I didn't.
Well, I just want you to know that.
They qualified, yeah.
They qualified for the playoffs, and we're excited about that. Now, what about the Rays? Are they doing still well? They were playing Oakland.
I got to tell you that I think the Rays will go to the World Series and probably win.
Really?
Yeah.
They
need to play Baltimore every weekend, though.
Well, that's
in
true.
Order to do that.
If everybody played Baltimore,
they've run into the Oakland A's, and they dropped 3 out of 4 to them. So.
Okay. Well, so, but you know what?
It's early. It's early. Okay. And it's early.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. It is time for our top 10 states that currently have the highest gas prices. And by the way, this comes from gasprices.aaa.com, American Automobile Association, I believe. Do you remember who was number one cheapest state?
I know it was the Midwest, I believe.
Yes.
I can't remember whether it was like Arkansas or Nebraska or something.
Okay, you're
like
close.
That. Okay.
I'm going to give you a half a star.
Yeah.
It's Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri had the cheapest. Missouri's was $3.66 a gallon, okay? Now we're going to do top 10
I'm going to nail who the highest is.
We'll see.
Even give you number two. Go ahead.
All right, then we're going
to
go when we get
go ahead,
there.
When
okay,
get to
okay
number
here
two.
We go. All right, number 10. Would you believe Illinois is number 10 highest? $4.34 a gallon.
They got to pay for all those guns on the streets.
They do. Number 9. Idaho. With potatoes and everything else, it's $4.40 a gallon. Number 8. Staying out west, Utah. $4.50 even.
Wow.
For a gallon of gas there. Wow. Number 7. Arizona. We're still out west. $4.60 a gallon in Arizona.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Early on the drums.
That's okay. That drum roll was for number 6, which is the state of Washington. $4.67 for a gallon of gasoline. Number 5. Why are all these states out west? Oregon. $4.65. You know what? Washington and Oregon, I screwed up.
Uh-uh. Number six is Oregon. Number five is Washington. Anyway, Oregon's at 465. Number four. Now, this one, I bet, surprises you, Ed. Number four is Alaska.
No, I'm not surprised.
Mm. Because Alaska is a great place to get the oil.
I know, but to refine it probably is...
That's exactly right.
To leave and come back.
That's exactly correct. $4.89.
I didn't go to school for nothing, you know.
Did you graduate from school?
I did. Of course I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Barely.
Number three. Back out west, Nevada. When they're not gambling, they're spending a lot of money for gas. $5.10 a gallon there. Mm. Wow. Number two, and I'm not going to ask you before. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is number two highest?
Hawaii.
You think Hawaii, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you're right. $5.46. Well, we know why it's high there. They're a little island, for God's sake, way out in the Pacific. You gotta transport. How are you going to get the oil there?
Well, let me tell you something. St. Croix, my favorite place to go, they have a refinery there.
Okay.
That supplies a lot of the islands down in that area, the Virgin Islands. Gas, when I go down there, is about $1 a gallon cheaper.
Really?
Yeah.
When was the last time you went to St. Croix?
It's been 3 years because of COVID.
Yeah. Are you going to be going back soon?
If I could leave tomorrow.
You would, huh? Okay. Okay, Ed. What's your guess? Number one state with the highest gas prices.
Great state of California. Yay.
You are correct, sir. Can you give me an idea of how much it is? It's at, well, I'll tell you.
Because it's got to be well into the fives, I'd say. $5.20, $5.30.
You're too low. $5.75 on average. Now, there are some places where it's $6 and almost $7 in California.
Wow.
Horrible, isn't it? All right, my friends. We want you to have a wonderful Easter weekend. We thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, please remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dig.